3. Second Timothy chapter 3. I like that. Timing was off, but I still liked it. Should have done it when I was walking up here. Some nice, happy intro music. Paul is coming to what he believes, and many people believe as well, the end of his life. Some people believe he actually was able to get out. Some people believe that he actually did become a martyr shortly after this letter. It's the last letter that Paul is writing in general. He's writing to Timothy. He's setting Timothy straight in order. He's letting Timothy know in chapter 4 where everyone's at logistically. He has his men that Paul has his men that he has trained that's set up to take over what Paul was previously doing for the next generation to come on up and to continue to do what Paul had done. And Timothy here is a very close acquaintance with Paul, been through a lot together. And it's interesting to see how the Lord uses individuals to encourage someone with where they're at in their life to keep moving forward. Does that make sense? Here at 2 Timothy 3, look at verse number 10. Paul is talking to Timothy, "But you have observed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, tolerance, love, patience, persecutions, and afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but the Lord delivered me out of them all." It's interesting, the list here that Timothy was a part of with Paul, as Timothy is traveling with Paul and learning from him. And seeing how the ministry works, seeing how what being used by God looks like, seeing what the purpose of ministry is. So I think we've done overall injustice to the ministry. We try and do little things that are offshoots of Christianity in the name of trying to get the gospel in, but we focus and major on the small thing and really never opens up the door to the main thing, which is getting out the gospel. Someone say amen. All right? Paul showed Timothy that the number one thing that this doctrine is in you is to get the gospel out. The only thing that's going to change this world is for people to get saved. That's it. Giving an unsaved person water, I'm for giving them water. And making them comfortable to go to hell. Giving an unsaved person a bag of rice, without giving them the gospel, you're making them comfortable on their way to hell. Giving the person fill in the blank to comfort them. And again, I want to meet those needs. Amen? Those needs need to be met. But if we are withholding what is good, we're not being used by God. We're making ourselves feel good. Paul is a great person to look at and to see what it takes to be in the ministry, what it takes to be a Christian, what it takes to not be a pastor, what it takes to not be a deacon, what it takes just to be boots on the ground, a born-again believer in society. He's the best to look at, in my opinion. Timothy learned from Paul. Paul is telling Timothy, listen, Timothy, you were around me. You saw my doctrine, my manner of life, how I conducted myself, my purpose, the faith that I had, the tolerance that I had. And tolerance today is used for bad, but really, in a Christian sense, it's actually good. No matter what decision someone makes, isn't going to control my emotions. Which I'm going to explain to this more in detail in the next coming week. Still, the word emotion is not even in the Bible. There's no Greek word for emotion. I never knew that until this last week. The word emotion is not a biblical word. It's not in the Greek. It's not in your Bible. Mind-boggling, isn't it? Anywho, that's all free. We'll get to that in the coming weeks. Love, patience, and then he goes on to say, okay, so those are the great things. Now look at some things that were rough. Persecutions and afflictions. which came to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. And then what persecutions I endured. But, he gives glory to God, the Lord delivered me out of them all. Now he's going to encourage Paul here, okay? Or he's going to encourage Timothy. I believe Timothy is in Ephesus at this time. And Paul is sending Tychicus there to replace Timothy so Timothy can go see him there in Rome. Verse 13, but it says verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now that is a Bible promise, I believe, inspired by God that Paul wrote to Timothy, but it can apply to all of us today, amen? All who desire to live godly. Hopefully it's this whole room. Hopefully that's all of us. But he's talking specifically to Timothy saying, listen, my friend, I know that you desire to live godly. Persecution is going to come. Look what he tells him in verse 13. To encourage him even more. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, that's fantastic. Can you imagine having a scroll, right? And by the way, up in the verses 1 through 9, Paul is explaining, hey, you know what? Men will be lovers of their own selves, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, slanderers, unrestrained, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, more lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so he's already starting off on a bad note, right? Like, it's the world is getting worse. So Paul's time, it was bad, and Paul is saying it's going to get worse. Now, Paul just told Timothy, you watched my persecutions. Paul was stoned, what people thought, to death. Now, can you imagine knowing that Paul was stoned to death, and then you have a scroll and you're reading it? And I'm just putting myself in Timothy's shoes, right? Going, okay, yes, I have learned from you. I have known that. Yes, I was around that. Yes, you suffered persecution. Oh, wait. You're telling me it's going to get worse? Like, what you have wasn't the worst. Like, you're about ready to die, or you're assuming you're going to die, and the next generation coming into it, it's going to get worse for them. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy. It's going to get worse. Men aren't getting better, they're getting worse. Why would that be? Why? How can men get worse? My thought is now that the Holy Spirit, the church is now here, people have an idea of what Christianity looks like. The gospel is being preached. And as they openly reject the truth, there's nothing new now, that hearts are getting more and more hardened. Right? We're seeing that. Now they're without excuse, like Christ said. If I had not come, they might have an excuse. But now that I have come and they denied me, now they are without excuse. So, knowing after I'm reading in this scroll, it's going to get worse, and I've been around Paul, and I've seen how bad being a Christian in the ministry can be, what do I do? What do I do? And Paul answers that in verse 14, but continue in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing those from whom you have learned them. So, Paul, here's what he does. Paul is reminding Timothy, he's assuring him of a truth he has known his whole life. You see how he did that? Paul is not teaching anything new to Timothy. He's reminding him of the core doctrinal foundations. This is Timothy. This isn't just some baby Christian. Paul has already used Timothy to go to other... Timothy tried to go to Corinth and help that church, and they didn't listen to him. Timothy has been in the ministry with Paul. Timothy's been on his own as Paul's representative to get the churches in order. It's not a baby Christian. This is a mature, grown man, believer in Christ. And it's amazing when I am confronted with persecution and fear and life and death and it can shake even the best of them. It can shake even the best of them. And Paul knows this. It's no secret. Timothy has kind of been timid. Paul's addressed that in 1 Timothy. It's no secret that Timothy has been let the church people walk all over him. That's no secret. Paul knows that. People know that. He's been taken advantage of many times. Timothy has. Paul's trying to help him spiritually and physically. Hey, drink some wine for your stomach's sake. So there's no secret about Timothy, but he's not looking at anything that's disqualifying Timothy. He's saying, listen, keep your heart in what you know. I'm reminding you. But continue, verse 14, in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing those from whom you have learned them, verse 15, and that since childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, listen, you have known the Old Testament. As a Gentile, you know that. You know the teachings of Christ. See, the New Testament wasn't fully written when Timothy was a child, right? He didn't have a Bible to go to. But as these new writings of Paul are coming out, Timothy was a child, he was listening to those new writings going, okay, I'm absorbing. Timothy had a great lineage of a mom and a grandma who looked at the Old Testament Jews and said, hey, we're going to follow this way of believing. As Gentiles, they believed that Christ came. They believed in the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling believers. So they were already prepped and ready to go. They believed in what Paul and his followers were preaching and teaching. So Timothy has been groomed and raised in this. Now here's what Paul does. He uses the scripture. He's saying, I'm going to remind you of what you know, and now I'm going to take it a step forward. Nothing new. You've heard this before. I'm just going to remind you of how important the scriptures are that I'm telling you to stand on. So I'm telling you to go, and I'm reminding you of the scriptures, and let me tell you why I want you there and to stay there. Verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So he's saying, listen, Timothy, I am reminding you to stand on the scriptures. Now here's why you need to stay there. You need to stay on what you've learned, what you've been taught, what you know, because again, it's inspired by God. It's for teaching, for reproof, for correction, instruction, righteousness. That you, as you're delivering these, and as people are hearing and learning, not only is it for you, but you can multiply yourself, that you can all be complete in God, thoroughly equipped, ready to go. Now, he's telling Timothy this because he has just said, Timothy, you're going to go out into a world that's getting worse and worse. And when I'm gone, you can't come to me. I cannot help you anymore. You're on your own between you and God. Everything that I've invested in you, you now are able to go forward with it. Now, he is not saying this, but I want to give a comparison here. You know how Jesus said in the Gospels, it's important for you that I go away. Think about that for a second. It's important for all of you in here, the disciples, that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit cannot come. But while I'm here, he's not coming. So I am going to go so a better fulfillment can come. You see that? Now, Paul's not saying this, but when Paul leaves, Timothy is going to have to rely on God, isn't he? Rely on the scriptures that Paul is saying. You need to stand here for correction, reproof, rebuke. Paul is reminding Timothy that you have these things, and if you're timid and scared and fearful, if you don't have assurance in the Word of God, you know and you're kind of wishy-washy. James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Timothy cannot then give out what is good, what is profitable, what is the best. Because he is not assured of it. He's like, I don't know, really, is it? I mean, I don't know now, and I'm doubting this, and I'm doubting that. So Paul is establishing and assuring Timothy that the scriptures and what you have been born and raised in are good, and as you go out, don't forget that's profitable for these things, so no matter what persecution you come up against, You just do what you know is right. The same exact... Why is Paul in prison? What's the number one truth that's putting Paul in prison? Jesus Christ is God, died on the cross for the sins of mankind, and rose again. That's the truth. That's the scriptures, if you will, that Paul is being martyred for. Why was Paul stoned? Because he taught one sliver of scripture. Not dispensations, which I love. Not Old Testament prophecy, which I love. Not fill in the blank on how big the truth is. I mean, I haven't even scratched the surface. I've been studying it for 15 years. One simple biblical fact. Jesus Christ is God, and died on the cross for the sins of mankind. If you don't believe in him, you're going to perish. But if you believe in him, you have everlasting life. That's the one doctrinal truth that's causing so much problems. Isn't it amazing? Out of all things that we can be fussing over, one truth. What's your stance on Jesus? That's why Paul's being persecuted. He says, listen, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. You're going to be persecuted for less things, probably. On nitpicking scripture here and there. And Paul deals with that kind of stuff in other texts on not listening to fables and wives' tales and this, that, and the other, and people coming in just wanting to argue on the minors. He's like, well, don't even give us guys time of day. We're wanting to cause division. Don't even entertain them. You have to know your scripture. Let me ask you this. I was going to have you guys write this down, but just think about it. Just ponder it in your mind. What life circumstance are you going through that you need assurance on? Timothy's life circumstance was persecution. Paul leaving him, going to heaven. Which Paul is excited, because in chapter 4 he says, the crown of righteousness is waiting for me. I'm ready to go. I fought a good fight. I finished the faith. What life circumstance am I going through that I need assurance on? Isn't it amazing? Many times, when a life circumstance comes, you see this a lot in young believers. They're grasping for something new. They're reaching out. They're reaching forward on some. Mainly, what they're reaching out for is something that justifies the actions they want to do, even if God's name's involved. I want to do this for God, but God's not telling me to, but I want to do it because it's self-glorification. I'm reaching for something new to tell me that this is okay. And I'm gonna work my way around people until I find someone that agrees with me and says, that's okay, go ahead and do that. You know that Paul didn't do that to Timothy? He pushed him backwards and said, remember this? Remember back here the scriptures that you know that you've been taught from a child? Those same scriptures, what you need to stand on moving forward, and here's why. People are reaching out many times is because they don't even know what they have. They don't even know what to go back on. They're saved and that's it. Right? They're saved and that's it. Many of them, they're not disciples because, number one, they don't want to be. And number two, not disciples because maybe someone isn't discipling them and teaching them. Number three, there's a sin involved they might not know about, holding them back from learning. Who knows? All kinds of scenarios, right? But if I'm going to follow the example of Paul towards Timothy, he reminded him of the facts that he has known, not reaching for something new, not looking for a clarification on something to do what he wants to do. He's saying, no, you stay here because here's why. Do I even know what to fall back on? Let's just say this. Let's use this as an example. Let's just say, for an example, let's say my circumstance is this. I don't feel love or acceptance or assurance or purpose or meaning, right? Those are big ones in life today, correct? If you tell a Christian, hey, remember what the Bible says here, they're going to go, no. I don't remember that. I don't know that. We have to start them off with to know something, right? This is how God views you. This is how God loves you. This is how God accepts you. This is how God has purpose for you in his life. This is how God gives you meaning. This is how God makes you significant. Amen? You guys tracking? And then you can say, 5 years from now when they kind of get hung up, you can say, hey, remember what you learned? They're not there yet. Timothy is mature. There was a time in Timothy's life when he had to learn these things, correct? He had to learn them. He had to learn them. He had to watch it seen in action. Another huge step is we learn and yet we don't put it into practice. Learning is to be put in practice. So now we have a Christian who now has over 2 years, let's just say, learned how God loves them, learned how God accepts them, learned how they have meaning in God's purpose, learned how fill in the blank they're significant. 3 years down the road, they go, oh man, I'm having a hard time. Kind of getting a little shaken here. Hey, remember what the Bible says. Not for something new. Remember what Scripture says here. Isn't the Holy Ghost supposed to bring to remembrance the things in which we have been taught? That's one of his jobs in John 14. Jesus said to the disciples, when I go, the Holy Spirit comes to you, he will remind you of the things that I have taught you. Is my brain full of things other than the Bible? Am I filling my heart with things other than Scripture or scriptural truths? You can tell what you're full of by what you fall back on. You can tell what you're full of by what do I fall back on. What you fall back on in a life circumstance reveals to you and God and everybody else what I'm full of, where I'm at in my life. Have you ever heard a term like blowing your testimony? Not having a good testimony? You guys ever heard of that? You guys know what testimony is? Like my lifestyle, my way of life, what I'm showing people, my testimony. You know, like how I'm living the Christian life out in society. Is it a good testimony? Is it a bad testimony? Why do we even have that terminology? It's because in the heat of the moment, I reveal what I'm full of. Amazing, isn't it? See how tricky it is? Paul, at the end of his life, that all things he could tell Timothy, the one that's taking over, Titus, Tychicus, Epaphras, these men, but we'll say in the context of Timothy, he says, hey, just remember the scriptures. Remember what you've been taught. Remember that he that hath the Son hath life. And he hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Don't confuse it. Don't water it down. Don't get all weird with it. And how shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? Pretty simple, right? Pretty basic. Stay there. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Stay there. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Stay there. You see where I'm getting at? Romans chapter 8, even when I'm in terrible despair, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will speak on your behalf. There is no power on earth or spiritual power that can separate us from the love of God. Stay there. Because when I'm gone and you're out in society and you're being persecuted for biblical truth and standards and what's right between you and God, the things that we stand for as Christians, in that moment, you could have a Stephen effect. In Acts chapter 7, when he preached the word of God, and they wanted to stone him, right? In the moment, being stoned up, he didn't fight back, he didn't cuss them out or yell at them. You know what he said? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Interesting. I think someone else said that. Right? I think his name was Jesus. He was being persecuted when he was being put on the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. But you see, he received what he was full of. He just wanted to live godly. Timothy was shaken. He needed assurance on something. I believe it was the stance on Scripture, the stance on truth. You have been assured that the truth that you have been taught and the things that you have seen in these men teaching this, it is true. It is the Word of God. Stay there. Can you imagine what Timothy is going through right now? Paul is about ready to die. What am I going to do now? I'm in Ephesus, which is the best church to be at, in my opinion. But even then, who knows where Timothy is going to go? Do I take this truth, second generation, do I take this truth and continue on with it, or do I just do this whole to myself and let them squander and fall? Timothy says, nope, don't you do that. You have the best. You need to be assured that it is the best so that you and your assurance can give it out. Whatever you're not assured of right now, whatever you're doubting, whatever you need assurance on, be careful that doesn't hold you back from giving it out. Does that make sense what I'm saying? I'm unsure of this. Well, then get sure of it. Get in your Bible and say, God, I'm unsure. Show me. Go old school. I don't know. I know that you know. I'm waiting to be patient and study it out so that I can be assured. I'll put the time in. I'll do hours and hours and hours of Bible study if I have to be sure of this. Because I am unsure and I am not using what I'm unsure of out for your glory. No amount of TV time is going to get in my way. No amount of children time or job time or fill in the blank time is going to get in the way. I need to be assured of this because my life is resting on it. Sounds pretty intense, doesn't it? That's pretty intense. But I read my Bible, and I see the first century Christians and how they treated it, the stance they took for Scripture, the time they put into it, what happened when they wrote Scripture down, what happened when they gave God's truth out. I don't want to be soft. I don't want to be weak. I see men who have had 10 times less than I have stand up for 10 times more than what I stand up for. But they have the same God that I have. The same truth that I have. They don't have anything more special than what I have right now. I probably have more. I have more resources. I have more comfort. I have a better schedule. I have more food than what it took to see the church explode. Timothy was unsure about Scripture. Paul encouraged him. Times are going to get worse. Stand on the truth. Whatever you're unsure of, I'm going to ask that you guys get assurance on that from the Lord through Scripture or through someone else teaching you. I don't care. But that you say, I know now. I know. I know why this is happening. No more I don't know. I know why. Even if I don't like it, but I know why. At the end of the day, it's so that God can get the praise, honor, and glory, and I can unleash out of me the best for Him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for being good to us today. Lord, we're thankful for your truth, and I do ask for all of us in here, Lord, that whatever we need assurance on, that we would get that assurance, whether it's being reminded of an old truth, which I hope that's where most of us are at, But if not, Lord, that's okay. That you would teach us something new right now, so that years from now, it can be a remember. We all start at the bottom. We all grow from the beginning basics. But Lord, I ask that a desire to grow and mature will continue to be encouraged here. A desire to have assurance on something that we're kind of shaken on, not clear on. That you would reveal these truths, remind us so that we can allow those things that are holding us back to get your truth out for your honor, for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day you allow us to have. Encourage our week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.